The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning. Welcome. This is the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us on this, well, dark and stormy day. And they always tell you when you take that that first literature class, that first writing class in college, you never start a story. It was a dark and stormy night. It's going to be a bit of a dark and stormy and sleety day. Just the perfect kind of weather for driving a motor coach around, I would think. What do you think, Pastor Hawkinson?
Oh, I don't know. It could be fun, huh?
It could be fun, yeah. Pastor Mark Hawkinson, our guest this morning,
yes,
as we continue through the book of Hebrews.
Good to be with you.
Good, well, and also with you.
Yes, well, is this a worship service? The Lord be with you, and also with you. Yes, well, lift up your hearts.
it all ties together, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Right.
Oh, hey, you have this wonderful program every day, weekdays here, and rumor has it maybe even on the weekends as well. This thing called Moments of Assurance.
Oh, I love it. I love to do it because, hey, you know, it's all about life. And all I do is share from the scriptures just a bit about life and mix in music and some encouraging words, hopefully from scripture. So it's my privilege to be able to do it.
Well, I know there are just lots and lots of fans out there who appreciate the work you do. I know I do.
Well, thank you.
It's good to have you for a colleague.
Appreciate you as well.
Yeah, see,
thank
gifts
you.
From God come in all shapes, sizes, and forms. Do they not?
Well, in my case, a larger form. But
oh, well, let's not go there this morning.
Okay.
Bad enough that it's going to be sleeting, and you'll be driving around in this afternoon.
That's right. Well.
So who is it that underwrites your program?
Mid-American Coaches Charter Service. I work for them part-time and enjoy it.
So, you know, so for like these little festivals that we have around the area, maybe mm-hmm. Southern Illinois, down Herman Way, if
right.
somebody wants to get a group together, Mark Hawkinson
That's
might
right.
be your driver if you go to
Mid-America. That's right. I help them out, and hopefully they help me out from the standpoint of just, you know, it's just part of life, something that to do. I do guest preaching on Sundays. In fact, I got a couple KFUO Sundays.
KFUO Sundays, yes.
Sundays that are coming up that we'll talk about a little bit later. But this is just, it's a supplemental thing for life. And as I say, I enjoy doing it. Ever since I was a little boy, maybe about 7 years old, I love Greyhound buses. I love
now,
to
do
ride
you, do you multitask while you drive? Can you preach? Can you do a Bible study while you're driving
while you're
somewhere?
Driving. No, we can't even talk on the cell phone. I can't do anything.
Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel.
That's right. Just to let you know, I was on Interstate 70 Friday night the entire night on the ice. Couldn't move near Effingham, Illinois. It was pretty rough. So lots of accidents and a few people killed out there, truckers.
Yeah,
sad
news.
It was very, very terrible.
Do they have restrooms on those motor coaches?
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness
restrooms.
For that.
Yeah, DVD restroom, Wi-Fi, raw Wi-Fi for your internet. Yeah. And we just kept everything running all the time. There was plenty of fuel. And
if only you had a burger.
The only thing that we were missing was a food bar, with some.
So word to the wise, when you travel at this time of year, pack a snack. You never know.
Yes. I usually do that, but the people helped me out there had a few pretzels.
Well, as again, you know, gifts from God come in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, right.
Let's begin with prayer this morning, and then, you know, you don't have much to do today, only six verses in Hebrews chapter 3. Nothing much.
What are we going to do the whole hour?
I don't know. We'll talk about, you know, greyhounds, perhaps.
There you go. All right. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, the word of Scripture is so clear from Genesis to Revelation, from Moses on. You created a new Moses. You didn't create one. One was already there, namely your precious and only Son. He is the one who will get each listener today all the way to heaven. Thank you, gracious Lord, for paying the price through the blood of your Son Jesus who died on the cross. And help each listener to understand the importance of not slipping back into some old form of thinking, into another religious way of doing things or philosophy. There is no philosophy other than Christ, and that's not even a philosophy. It's a way, the way, to get to heaven. Thanks, Lord, for not a philosophy, but for your Son, Jesus, our Savior. His holy name. Amen.
Amen. We'll get your cup of tomato soup and your grilled cheese sandwich and pull up close to the radio, because here we go. Hebrews chapter 3.
All right.
You see, fans of Moments of Assurance know what I'm talking about. Those who don't, tune in and find out.
I love it. I still love that recipe.
Yeah. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. That's our assignment for today. And even in the large print that I have to print it off just to make sure I don't make a mistake, only one page.
Okay.
Only one page of text today.
Wow. All right.
Jesus is greater than Moses. Verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has, more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken of later, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast to our confidence and our boasting in our hope. And those are the first six verses of Hebrews chapter 3. Well, now here's the, this is the question. This is the question for today.
All right.
You know, either Jesus
Give
is superior or he's just one of many.
He's over the angels.
Yeah.
You know, we know that from Hebrews 1, that he's definitely over the angels. He, in the scripture, it says there's a Greek word, homoousion. It doesn't sound right, but that is the word, which means one of the same substance. Jesus is one of the same substance with God. You are one with God through your baptism and by faith. That's a different oneness. This kind of oneness that Jesus has with the Father is of the same substance. So that puts Jesus up there in the God category. That's what I like. And certainly superior to Moses. But the danger here, it's just like, you've been doing the Bible study here in Hebrews. These were, Jews. And the temptation would be that they would go back to Judaism, to their old way of thinking and their old way of doing. They just get slipshod. They get discouraged in their faith and life. And this Christianity thing, this Jesus thing. Are you sure about Jesus? They're wondering. Are you sure this is the guy that is above all things? And shouldn't we go back to Moses? Shouldn't we go back to Judaism?
Well, run with that for a moment. To a good, God-fearing, observant Jew of the first century of this time.
Right.
Who would have been seen as the prominent icon of God's presence and authority? Would that have been Moses, or would it have been...
Well, Moses, as you look back to the Old Testament, definitely was the superior being of the OT, no question about it. There was a religion that developed between the Testaments, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that of course, was Judaism, and they came up with 613 law codes that a Sabbath day's journey was an example of that. If a Jew were to travel farther than a Sabbath day's journey, he would be breaking the Jewish commandments of Judaism. So, and of course, the whole idea that this is making points with God, being able to keep these laws, and that somehow this would place them in a right condition with God on Judgment Day, which of course it does not. And that is the thing that, to get across to the listener today, as far as I'm concerned, that those things of Judaism or any other religious sect, that is not counting for eternity.
Now, the Pharisees held just to the law of Moses, right?
The highest Jewish council was known as the Sanhedrin, and frankly, they were into the Mosaic law. They're also into this Judaism as well. They were into both. That had developed. See, that isn't something that always has been. It sort of developed, sort of like some of the other traditions and other denominations that developed since around 300 A.D.,
Yeah, because
things
back to,
that develop, yeah.
To what, Ezra and Nehemiah?
Yes, yeah, it does. So, those things develop over a period of time. So you have, Jesus said, now this is interesting, Jesus said you have Moses and the prophets. You don't have Moses and 613 law codes that you need to abide by. So Jesus regarded Moses highly, and he expected the people to. And in this text, he's not saying let's throw Moses out and forget about Moses either.
Moses is known as the lawgiver.
That's right.
But do you think, perhaps just perception being what it is, and with that title as lawgiver, but the law pre-exists Moses.
You know, where was it before Mel Brooks came down from the mountain with two tablets?
He did. That was a good movie, yeah, by the way. Yeah.
Ten Commandments. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think any movie can quite do justice, to the real thing, but they make an attempt. And it does give you an inkling. It gives you a little bit of an idea of what first... But the law... my goodness, the law is written, according to Romans chapter 1, the law is written in man's heart. And then you tie that in with Psalm 14:1. Psalm 14:1 says, only the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So, never forget this class I took at the seminary where Dr. Walter E. Meyer Jr. was explaining how people suppress. The word he used was suppress the truth. They know it's there. They know there's a God, but they suppress that fact.
Some might call it a gut feeling.
Yeah. So that when they do... Now, some people do not have much of a conscience about things. How is it that people are able to go out and murder other people and kill them and not even seem to be bothered all that much by it? It's because their conscience is not captive to the Word of God. If their conscience were captive to the Word of God, they would not be able to go out and do that without being able to... They'd have to go to their pastor right away and confess and try to get some relief, try to get the absolution. So you wonder about all these people out there that are doing things like that, which you could never do, and I could never do. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, of course. Who am I to disagree with Pastor Mark Hawkinson?
Well, the thing of it is, I'm going to have to disagree with myself. Now, that's a first, isn't it?
Well, again, so that's one of those gut instincts. You never argue with question the pastor. You never argue with
him. The one thing I remember, a professor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Springfield, Illinois. I'm a graduate of the old Springfield Seminary, which definitely dates a person. One of the last second to last graduating class, and a professor there, Mark Stege. Professor Reverend Dr. Mark Stege made the statement. He said, I don't care how many theological degrees you have. Doesn't make any difference. You're still a sinner. Not only that, he said, there is no sin that you're not capable of doing given the right circumstances and situations. And that is one thing that really got to me, which says to me, watch out and beware. And don't let the devil take you captive in your life, because that possibility is existent. You know, so you'd like to think that you could never go out and murder someone. I don't think I could. I don't see how I could. I love people. I mean, I don't want to hurt anybody, you know, and you don't either. And yet, whoops, yet Kevin, the mic just twirled around three times here. Is that an omen or what here?
No.
Okay.
We need one of those old Wurlitzer kind of, you know, stay tuned.
Yes.
Network problems. Programming will return anytime.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. But at any rate, so the Hebrew Christians here were to beware lest they fall back into that old way of thinking.
Old way of thinking, would that have been sort of the gut instinct? If Peter or Paul comes walking into your synagogue this weekend talking about Jesus being superior to Moses, wouldn't your gut tell you something's not right about this?
Yeah, sure it would. So you have to have a situation where the Holy Spirit is above the gut. And the Holy Spirit working in the Word makes you not a gutless person. You are no longer gutless. You are full of gut for Christ. Look at it that way. I mean, that's another point that the writer to the Hebrews, I haven't been able to listen to each of your Bible studies because I'm in an office, you know, where, and it's down in a valley and you can't hear. Always, but did you come up with a conclusion of the writer to the Hebrews? Who was it? Did you have did the pastors come up with that conclusion?
They ran with the conclusion
Apollos?
From the Lutheran
Did they say
Bible,
Apollos?
Which is Apollos.
Yeah, that's my opinion. Apollos, the writing is not quite St. Paul's, and who else could it be? That's the thing, you know, so that's just a guess. And nobody knows for
probably
sure.
Probably someone
that.
Who was a companion or intimately acquainted with St. Paul.
Acquainted with St. Paul, that's good, Roland, and that's very true. So most likely somebody like Apollos did write this section, but one of the key words in this section to me is confidence. You have to have confidence. The boast of the hope. Boasting in what? Well, people like to boast about a lot of things. If you listen to the, I suppose we shouldn't talk about politics, but if you listen to the...
Life is life. It comes in all shapes and sizes.
If you listen to the presidential debates or have seen any of the presidential debates, there's a whole lot of boasting that
goes on. You want
to
punish your children, make them
yes. There's a whole lot of boasting. The question is are there facts to back up the boasting? You know, and that's what the listener or the viewer and the television program, what they have to decide for themselves. Who's telling the truth and who isn't, yeah. And who's backing up whom? And I think, to me, it's entertainment. I don't know who I'm going to vote for, but
that's the beauty, Mark, of being an American in the modern age.
That's right.
You can
have
call
a choice.
Yourself whatever you want and have absolutely no evidence to back it up.
Republican, Democrat, you don't have to have anything to back that up, but what you want is something that somebody that's telling the truth, somebody that you can trust, and... You know, in the case of the Hebrews here.
Isn't it interesting when you look at this, you know, Jesus greater than Moses, you have these folks in the synagogue sort of minding their own business, and here comes Paul to town. And what was the consequence Paul generally suffered from coming and proclaiming this message that the Christ had come, that he was superior to Moses?
Well, the consequence was that, tell me another good one. You know, yeah. I mean, we don't believe that. How could Jesus? I mean, he's not our Messiah. Now, that's what the Jews thought at that time, except for the ones, of course, who were converted. They were looking for someone to ride into Jerusalem on a horse instead of on a beast of burden, on a donkey. They were looking for another King David, if you will, another King David that would come in and conquer the Romans and, you know, make a big name for the Jews so that they could come out shining, as the victors.
So you think Paul, cauliflower ear, bent nose, maybe a couple of teeth not there, because every time he seemed to stop and bring this message, got the stuffings beat out of him.
Yeah. Yeah, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was in prison. In fact, he wrote a letter to the Philippians, just as an example, and he wrote in there to the Philippians, thanks for the gift, you know, that you've sent, and for supplying my need. Rejoice in the Lord always. How can Paul write those words from the vantage point of a prison cell unless something that took over his gut? That was very good, Roland, that you mentioned they go with their gut. But a true Christian, even at that time, in the time of the Hebrews, was... not a gutless person, but was filled with the confidence of Christ. And that is what
that
supersedes. The confidence of Christ supersedes and goes above whatever your gut might be telling you.
505-7850. Speaking of gut, I have the gut instinct to invite callers in.
There you go.
The program this morning, 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. And yes, you can. And this is happening more and more frequently, Mark. Maybe even today it will happen again. We get folks who have the iTunes app for KFUO. It's free.
That's
download
amazing.
It. If your phone or your iPad or your tablet, whatever it may be that you're using, if it can utilize the apps from the iTunes store, download the KFUO app. It's absolutely free.
It's absolutely free.
Absolutely free. Thank you. You're a card, man, I tell you.
Oh, man. And I couldn't resist
you
that.
You can stream audio, both the AM side and Classic 99, as well as contact us by way of email directly through that app, or you can send us the old-fashioned kind of email where you have to open the server and all that fun stuff, KFUO at KFUO.org. Okay, we have to define some terms here. We don't want to take for granted. That's one of the rules here that we follow, our little rubric, that we're always defining our terms. And we see a couple here that we probably should take a look at. You know, the word holy appears again, you know, holy brothers.
Okay.
Holy brothers. No sisters. Sounds almost like we're talking about monks here.
That's just a general address to the Christians at that time. And the word holy means set apart and sanctified. It's neat that the writer to the Hebrews, whether it's Apollos or nobody can say for sure, but it's kind of the going opinion, I think, but not just brethren. So he's setting these people out. And he's reminding them to whom they hold allegiance, namely to Jesus Christ. They're not just brethren, but they're holy brethren, sanctified, ready. They're sanctified, set apart for heaven. They're set apart for heaven. That makes them different than people that are in the old Judaism who are not currently set apart. Not that they couldn't be, but that if they're into the old Judaism only, then they're not in that position because they're not regarding Christ as the Messiah and the only way to heaven. So, you know, that's at any rate, that's what the word holy means, set apart.
Set apart.
Set apart,
set
right.
Set apart for some...
Set apart for God's heart.
Not just something set apart, but set apart for a purpose?
That's right. To serve the one who first served you and me on Calvary.
You know, this term holy, again, misperceived today. There is this phrase out there, holier than thou. Holy people are perceived to be really annoying. Have you noticed this? Or at least that's the common sort of cultural...
You mean those that think that they're holy, or those that truly demonstrate a Christ-like life? You know, and not that the first category doesn't, but the ones who think they're in that position are sort of like, remind me of the Pharisees who stood in the marketplace on the corner with their phylacteries. There's sections of Scripture tied around their foreheads so that everybody could see what they were wearing, and that they're pretty special people, this kind of thing. But the ones that are truly pleasing to God are the ones who are responding to His love for them through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And their whole life is a life of saying one big thank you to the one who couldn't have done more for them and didn't do any less than everything, not less than everything for them.
Now, as a man who has possessed a heavenly calling, is it a good or a bad thing to have a heavenly calling?
Is it a good or bad thing? Well, it's a good thing.
Well, I mean, when you look at what happened to St. Paul and the saints, Stephen and
from
Peter
that standpoint, it can be good and bad. I mean, it's good from a heavenly standpoint because you know that that's where you're going, but the only bad thing might be that you might have to suffer some. Certainly Paul did. Certainly all Christians do from time to time, no doubt about it. So, you know, that would be the rub, or that would be the negative side toward that heavenly calling.
Well, what is a heavenly calling? I mean, is it serving as a pastor? Is it serving the church?
No, no.
Is it...
That's the narrow sense of it. I mean, there's a narrow sense to receiving a call from God through the church. And, of course, through His Word, ultimately, but just a down-to-earth standpoint, the church calls you, a congregation calls a pastor to serve in their community, but the calling here is a calling to be a Christian, like you, like me. We're called to be Christ-like and to give thanks for what God has done for you and for me, by demonstrating that thankfulness with a life of service and dedication to the one who dedicated everything for us.
If you take a look at the screen in front of you, Pastor Hawkinson, you'll see that Eric has written into us. He says, I think some sects would consider this set-apartness to be a separation,
good
a separateness
question.
From
oh,
the
yeah.
world, people like the Amish and so on.
Excellent.
Is,
it,
is that an error? Is that going a bit too far with being separate?
Yeah,
holy?
Maybe just a little bit. Christians are not separate from the world. This is where prepositions come in so neatly. You know, you've heard this, I know, you know it well, Roland, and that is simply that in the world but not of, those two prepositions are critical and completely change the whole context of everything, because if you're of the world, man oh man, that's one thing. But in the world, that's something else. So I know we're short of time here. Maybe we can talk on the other side of the break
as well.
Go ahead,
run with that for a little bit.
Okay. Well, again, thanks to Eric, and that is a good question. No, we're not set apart from the standpoint that we have to have some kind of different customs that would set us apart, like the Amish, for goodness. The set apartness means sort of that we are God's people, of course, and belonging to God, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Well, you know what? I don't always do that. You don't always do that. But there is Jesus who forgave your sins and mine to give you the power. Through that forgiveness, you get power to more accurately reflect the thankfulness you want to show the Savior for what He's done. Set apart means you're not putting one foot in the world and trying to be a part of worldly things, you know, sinful lifestyles, for example, and holy lifestyles don't meld or mix. They, you know, that's
so
oil and water.
We're not, maybe for lack of a better word, common.
Common?
As in familiar, as in just sort of like that old pair of shoes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Let's talk about it on the other side. 505-7850,
1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. The break is a great time to get in line. If you're on the phone, you email in, we'll come to you first. We'll be right back after these few short messages.
Servanthood is a core value of Concordia Seminary. To be a servant is alien to so many people in our society. Even some clergy take on authoritarian airs. But Jesus, Son of God and Lord of all, came as a servant. We want Concordia graduates to model servanthood to their congregations and to their communities. Servanthood, that's the Christian way.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Jeske from Time of Grace. Did you know that in addition to hearing Time of Grace every Saturday morning at 11:30 right here on KFUO, you can also see Time of Grace every Sunday morning? Watch us on ABC 30 every Sunday morning at 6:30 for some straight talk and real hope.
Saturday mornings at 11:30 on KFUO Radio.
How would you like to enhance your legacy to your family and continue your legacy supporting God's mission through KFUO with a planned gift? A planned gift will enable you to increase your annual income, eliminate capital gains tax on assets, and receive a significant tax deduction. You can even list KFUO as a designated beneficiary of your life insurance policy or IRA. Call today, ask for Joni, and explore all the benefits of planned giving to KFUO.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? We're remembering this week the words of the prophet Nehemiah, reminding us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I know that they are Nehemiah's words because Vicki has a plaque with this Bible passage on it in a prominent place in our house. I see these words every morning. Now, Nehemiah was a strange person to have first spoken these words of joy because he was a very serious man. He came to a devastated Israel as the governor under the Persian government. The people barely had the strength to defend their property from hostile neighbors, let alone find the time to worship the Lord their God. Nehemiah armed them with swords in one hand and tools in the other as they rebuilt the ruined walls of Jerusalem. Then he asked Ezra the scribe to read the five books of the law of God by Moses in the city square. Then Nehemiah himself tells us what happened next. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." This was a day when the people were on the verge of tears, both because of exhaustion and because of the fear of God. But it was for this very reason that God had come to save them. Such times are not for weeping, but for joy, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for stern and serious leaders like Nehemiah, who still knew that while weeping may last for the night, joy will come in the morning. Help us to really believe this, regardless of how sad our circumstances may be. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, whose eternal life has come down to earth among us in human flesh and blood to bring us hope and joy. Amen.
Welcome back. This is the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Lettner. Our guest pastor this morning is Pastor Mark Hawkinson. You know him from Moments of Assurance, heard here every day on KFUO at noon Central Time. And when does it air on the weekends, Mark?
Well, ooh, boy, that It airs from 9:15 to 9:30. It's kind of like sometimes I'll follow the text for the day, and other times I'll just do a topic and have a couple songs in there in prayer. It's just designed to be a short vignette sort of a thing to help people along on Sunday morning. I enjoy doing it, and I hope people are able to be helped by it. And,
so they can listen to it on their way to church or even their way home if they go to early service. Does anyone go to early service anymore?
I used to in my early, in my other life, my earlier days. But no, when, of course, when I was preaching regularly every Sunday, then you have to get up at that time. And never forget one parish call I had to Jefferson City, Missouri. I was single at the time. The alarm didn't go off on Sunday morning.
No.
I got a phone call at 8:05. Service starts at 8. And I was there at 8:01, robed and everything.
Really?
Yes. As I say, in my younger days.
So, well, you know, I mean, that's the benefit of being a liturgical church.
Yeah.
No one can see your pajamas under your robe.
Well, I lived in a parsonage. It was like 300 feet from the church.
Oh, well, that
and
makes
so
all the difference
that,
in the
you just
too.
Had to run over there. But
sure,
at any rate.
Sure.
So, things you can do when you're younger.
Yeah, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. I think, Pastor, you helped me sort of rephrase, maybe re-ask the question that I left you left into the break. Boy, look at me. I'm just breaking down here.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it so much better when you can get all the words in the right order? It makes so much more sense.
Well, you're sounding fine to me.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't have a problem.
The question was focusing it on Eric's question about being separate
and holy.
Holy,
yes.
Well, what is the opposite of holy? It's not. Is it unholy? Is it?
Well, to me, it would be.
Okay.
I mean, in all honesty, yes. On Judgment Day, either you're holy through Christ or you're not. And you're still in your sin. And if you're still in your sin, you're not into Him, which means you can't be saved. Because there's no other name given among men by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name. Christ is, it's His holiness that you're wearing today and that I'm wearing. There's nothing, you can't see it. It's invisible.
I thought it was Old
Look
name.
All you want to, you know. Rolling up your sleeves and serving the Lord is great as long as you don't think that somehow or another that's what makes you holy, and that's what makes you acceptable on Judgment Day, because it doesn't.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to the phones. Linda is up first. If I had to venture a guess, I would bet Linda is a fan of Moments of Assurance. Hi, Linda. How you doing?
I love Moments of Assurance.
Well, thank you, Linda. I appreciate that.
And I love Pastor Hawkinson, so
well,
I love
thank you
all.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. We love you, too.
He always encourages us out here for years. I just wanted to make a comment on, or ask a question, too, about verse 6.
Okay.
It says, but Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? And, you know, it says we. A lot of people, they say, well, we don't need the church. You know, as an individual, I can worship and I can walk through around my farm and talk to God. You know, this is talking about corporately.
True, yeah.
You know, we are the members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. You know, the Bible says your bodies are the members of Christ, and individually.
Members one, right.
Yeah, we're not a habitation individually. As members of the body of Christ, we are His habitation, right?
Right. And what we're talking about here is that's the visible church, the church you can see, the members that are there. And, of course, the Bible says, never forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And obviously the third commandment enters in, remember the Sabbath day. For the Christian now, the Sabbath day could be Monday, Sunday, Wednesday, doesn't matter. We're free from those regulations, as Colossians chapter 3 says, we are free from those regulations. However, there is also the invisible church. Now take a shut-in, for example, a shut-in that cannot get to church for whatever reason. That they still are Christians. They have God's Word, you know, and God's Word still keeps them in the faith. And they're able to pray for other people, you know, and that's a real ministry, you know, being
and
able to pray
still.
And there are other people that have other circumstances that make it impossible for them, for whatever reason. But ordinarily, yes, I agree with you 100%. That we refers to the body of Christ that gets together there and worships. Absolutely.
Well, like we're all out here this morning, and we are all the body of Christ. We don't see each other.
Right.
Never have seen each other, but we are encouraging one another. This verse you always read to us, it says in Colossians chapter 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And, you know, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. And it's just like, you know, even the shut-ins, KFUO helps them. You're still part of the body of Christ when you listen in, you know, even those people who
can't go to
church and enjoy the you know, physical presence of the church. KFUO fills that void. So
true. Very, very.
You know, but by ourselves and without God's word and without, you know, people helping us with the word of God and like the music you play and you know, that builds us all up and we are the body of Christ. So, okay.
Very, yeah. Well said, right. Linda. Yeah, music is next only to theology, Martin Luther said,
sure.
As far as being a help for the Christian person. So music is very important. So,
I know.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Well,
appreciate
okay,
your comments. Thanks.
God bless you.
God bless you
thank
as
you,
well.
Linda. Have a great day.
Yeah, and that's so true. There is a helpful... there is a certain wonderfulness about being in God's house and being together with the body of Christ there. But as I mentioned, there are some people that are not able, for whatever reason, to attend worship services, but they're still a part of that invisible. There's the visible church and the invisible church, and they're part of that invisible church there.
It also strikes me, Pastor Hawkinson, that there are people who self-exclude themselves
from
church because they don't, well... I guess the common thing people might think is they don't feel worthy to be there.
Right, and of course those people need to know they are, you know, and that the worthiness is through faith in Jesus Christ, and he's the one, you know, who, excuse me, who came for the sinner. You know, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so he's for you, he's for me, and for all sinners. I'm a sinner who needs a Savior, and people out there that think that they're not good enough to attend worship are sadly mistaken. It's for them.
So when we get to the point where it talks about Jesus as high priest of our confession, are we talking about the Lutheran confessions? Or what confession?
Confession of faith, you know, that Peter said. Remember Peter's confession? I should have had you get me some water there earlier. No, that's okay. I was going to say that.
I mean, Buzz is here. We can put him to use.
If you can, if you can get some water, that would be good. I'm having a little trouble here, but the confession that Peter gave. Thank you, sir. That's that Miller High Life. There is.
No,
just kidding.
no.
Just a little humor there. Very little. Just a little humor.
What they don't see, they don't know. Mark, remember
that's
that.
Right. But who do people say that I am? You know, that Jesus asked his disciples. Some say you're one of the prophets and blah, blah, blah. But who do you say that I am?
Yes.
And then Peter, speaking on behalf, not just for himself, but speaking on behalf of the apostles, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So that's the confession that they're talking about here.
An apostle, that's, you know, much as we talked a little bit yesterday, with all the different names and titles ascribed to Christ, if you went out there and surveyed 100 people that were Christians, you know, the word destroyer probably wouldn't show up in the survey of what people think of when they think of Jesus, but he comes to destroy death.
Absolutely.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
Here's another one, apostle.
Yeah.
Well, no, those were the 12 guys that didn't quite get it. Those are the 12 guys that were always asking the dumb questions and doing the odd things.
Why did Jesus select the men that he did to serve in these holy, you talk about holy, quote-unquote, set-apart, because you have to admit, being a disciple of the Lord, that's a holy thing, certainly it would be, and a set-apart sort of a thing. And why did he select fishermen of all people? Why? Because I don't know why. You know, I don't know that you know or that I know the answer, but... I will say this. Remember in Acts 4, Peter and John had just healed a lame man in the name of Jesus. They were brought before the Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish council, because they had done this in the name of Jesus. And they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus again. Of course, yeah, right, you know, they're really going to not speak of the name of Jesus. In fact, they said, we cannot help but speak of the things we've seen and heard. We can't help it. It's an inner conviction. It's a compulsion. So, you know, that here they had... The point I'm making is that the Sanhedrin said they took note that these men had been with Jesus, even though they were ordinary. The word used, excuse me, in the scripture is ordinary. They could tell that they were plain and ordinary men, but that these men had been with Jesus. So that, to me, probably one of the reasons that he selected the men that he did to serve in the capacity as apostle or disciple.
They didn't look holy.
No, not so much an appearance, although, you know, I think that when you meet somebody even on the street and you talk with them or for 5 or 10 minutes, you can probably tell.
But the text
been with
says,
Jesus or not.
The text here says that Jesus, it says Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession.
Yes.
Like I said, I don't think people associate the word apostle with Jesus directly.
They don't.
That those were the 12 guys that traveled along with
right,
him.
Right.
How is Jesus an apostle?
Because he's the apostle. He is the one sent. If you go back to Deuteronomy, it talks about where it refers, there is an apostle who will come after me, Moses said. There's an apostle who will come after me. And we believe that is a direct reference when he said there's an apostle that will come after me, a direct reference to Jesus Christ. And because Scripture interprets Scripture. That's one of the, you know that from talking to, you know that yourself. And so the definition of the word apostle, one who is sent. So the Father sends Jesus to assume human flesh, so that the Father's mission of redeeming the whole world could be accomplished. There's no other way. This is the neat thing that gets to me, a sinner who needs a Savior. The thing that gets to me is that God had to pay himself for our sins. And that's essentially what he did. He himself died on Calvary, and he himself, Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, but still one person. And that's hard for your mind and my mind to understand, and yet it's an article of faith, and we believe it because it is true.
You
mentioned something about high priest. Yeah.
Yes. Well,
he is, of course. He's not a replica of the Old Testament priests. He's after the order of Melchizedek. Who suddenly wasn't anymore. You know, some sort of a miracle there. And I'm not sure what happened there, but he's an eternal high priest who we go through him to get to the Father. And that's the only way that we can get to him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. I mean, so that's the only route that you can get to heaven, and that I am able to get there is through the high priest who makes intercession on the basis of himself.
See, so, that's the neat part about it. Originally the church was referred to as the way.
We talk about the book of Acts.
Yeah, Jesus as the way.
Right.
So you're talking about Jesus as high priest preparing the way, But what about the rules or the 12 steps or the good works or all that? I mean, what is this way?
What is the way?
Yeah, what is this way? I mean, is there something...
There's no magic formula when you follow the way. All you can say about the way is that it's a way of life. It's a living... The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. And if you look at in the book of Matthew 25, it talks about that your right hand doesn't even know what your left hand is doing. You know, when it comes to works, you're not there to promote yourself to God in a self-righteous way. The way is simply following Jesus Christ by faith and trusting in him alone for your salvation, yes, but also for the other calamities. And there are calamities in people's lives that do arrive from time to time. Now, the other night, I was very concerned for my life, you know, and for the lives of those people in the motor coach with me. I was very concerned because we were in a situation where there was virtually no control. What do? You pray about it. You ask for the, well, I prayed for angels. I prayed that the angels would guard and watch over. So walking by faith and not by sight is the way that you follow the way. That's the way I look at it.
So when it says consider, you know, this word consider sort of implies making a choice or making a decision.
It does. It does exactly.
Really?
Which way are you going to go here? You come to a crossroads, you people. If you're slipping in your faith and you're thinking that it's going to somehow be better going back to Moses, you're wrong. Because I'm telling you, Jesus is superior to Moses. So, for goodness sakes, look at the people. They had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of their sin. They're grumbling and they're complaining. And you want to go back to that? You go back to that, to Moses, you're not any better than the Old Testament people who grumbled and complained as they were going through the wilderness about the bitter water, about, look, when we were back in Egypt, we had meat to eat. Now look at the stuff you're giving us. You know what I mean? There's nothing but complaining. You don't want to go back to that old way. There's a way that's superior to the old way. It is the only way that will end up in everlasting life as well.
So these are people who are already in the faith, but are,
I think so,
falling,
yes,
away.
Yes.
So they're not choosing to be in the faith. They're
choosing to be out of the faith. The temptation is
consider what's going to happen here, if you prefer to put yourself back under the law as opposed to under Christ,
that's the danger.
What's the consequence of being placed under the law?
Well, the consequence is you forsake Christ. That's the consequence. You're going to try to be so arrogant as to assume that you have somehow or another the wherewithal to enter eternity. And
so,
you don't,
so
neither do
if
I.
If you are outside of this holy brotherhood,
yes,
if you choose to depart from this holy brotherhood,
from this holy set apart brethren, that's good,
right?
Then you're out. You're out of heaven. That's the danger. It's just flat, plain, and simple.
So think about this.
Yeah, and think about it today. Think for the listener today. If you're going to consider some other way other than Jesus Christ, tragically, that will be the consequence. There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved except the name Jesus. In the original language, it means only. It's very exclusive. I mean, this is an exclusive route going to heaven.
Well, that's awfully offensive.
Well, yeah. Jesus, Jesus once said, "I've not come to bring peace, but a sword." You know what I'm saying? That father would go against mother. I mean, sometimes it causes division.
That's the inconvenient Jesus.
Yeah, there's the Jesus that brings peace.
I like
the
Jesus with a lamb on his shoulders. That's the Jesus with a sword is not the image we like to project.
But
that's not friendly.
But for someone that rejects the message, then there's a parting of the ways.
Well,
and
he's both
the
and.
Sad part.
He's
yeah.
both and savior and savior and judge.
You are right. Very good.
Yeah. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go back to the phones. Rick is waiting patiently. Apparently there's some scripture contradiction he wants to bring up. Rick, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call. And I hear what you're saying. And the scriptures that talk about, you know, a dog returning back to his vomit. And then there are other ones that talk about you're held by the power of God. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit.
That's correct.
Well,
and you see a contradiction there.
Yeah, why some and not others
to
start with? And then the scriptures that talk about the dog, they're returning to the vomit, and then the other one says you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Does that sound...
Well, we'll try to deal with that, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate your questions here today. Well, why does a dog return to its vomit? What's the meaning there?
Dogs what dogs do, I guess.
That's right. I mean,
just
you,
what they
you
do.
Once you, this is one of the things that happens when you fall into, for example, serious sin, is that it's contagious to yourself. And what you want to do is you can't get enough of it, and it takes more of what you're doing to get you satisfied, and so you just keep coming back for more, and the end result is you lose everlasting life. You've made the choice to go back to a different way of thinking
doing. That choice is, I think, at the heart of Rick's question. What our friends in Reformed Christianity might say, you know, part of this word tulip, you know, the I in tulip is irresistible grace.
Yes.
Who are you to resist God? If he says you're in, how can you get out? And if you're out,
well,
how can you
true.
Get in?
Well, that's true in that the scriptures are clear. God says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. All right. That's on the one hand. Keep that in mind. That is true. That is God's promise, sealed by the Holy Spirit. It says that in Ephesians, you know, and Paul wrote those words, that the Christian is sealed by the Holy Spirit. And I find a lot, that's the gospel. That is the comfort of the good news about Jesus Christ, that you are sealed in your baptism and by faith. God will not leave you, nor will he forsake you, but you can leave him. See, that's the danger. You can leave him. That comes out in Hebrews.
See, that makes no sense. That makes no sense. You can resist God if he's almighty, all-powerful, omnipotent.
Well, he doesn't want a robot. See what I'm saying? He wants one that will serve lovingly because that person wants to, because that person has been impacted and affected by the love of Christ. So the Bible says, take heed lest ye fall. So it is possible if you shut your Bible, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to say, the vision I had in my mind is that of a revolving door as opposed to a door with a sign that says no readmittance. You know, once you leave, you don't come back in.
Okay.
Maybe that's also part of the understanding here, is that if you turn your back on God and leave, like some of... Because this was a big debate in the early church under the persecution.
That's right.
What do you do with a Christian who denies the faith and then wants to come back?
Well,
can they be restored?
Well, the sin against the Holy Spirit is the only unforgivable one. And that is when it's offered to you again and again and again, and you say, no, 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 I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it. Finally, God says, okay, you can't have it. You have, God hardened your heart, but God is patient. He doesn't harden your heart right away. You have to really work with him to get to that point where he's going to do something. But don't take a chance on that. You don't want to take a chance that you have all kinds of time to have one foot in the world and participate in sinful activities like that.
Now, we have just about 2 minutes left, not really enough time to be fair with a caller, but Eric has written back in with another question very quickly here. I put that on the screen for you. It says that the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, teaches that you can lose your salvation and you can only do this by resisting the Holy Spirit. His question is, can you prove that you've resisted the Holy Spirit by unholy living?
It's an indicator. It's an indicator, but you can't make a solid judgment for sure. I can't look into your heart and say, let's say that you've got a still in your backyard or something, you know, and you're making all kinds of whiskey out there or whatever that they call it, you know, in the mountains. I know, because I used to live in the mountains the first part of my ministry. I know about stills, not from personal experience, but suppose that. if you shrug your shoulders and say, I know it's against the law, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. I'm going to go out in the highway and I'm going to speed. I don't care. I don't care about this. If you have I don't care sort of attitude that seems to permeate your whole life, and your morality is in pretty bad shape. It's certainly an indicator, but the Bible also teaches, you know, the slightest spark of faith is saving faith. You know, it isn't how much faith you have that saves. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. But your salvation would be in jeopardy if you were living a life like that.
It's not necessarily the living, it's the repentance.
Well,
for the living,
you would wonder if they were. That's what you don't know. That's the factor that you don't know. Are they repenting or are they not? Well, you'd have to talk with them and see. You know, if they're a repentant sinner that's saying, look, I'm trying to amend my sinful ways, they're still Christians. If they say, I don't care about Christ, I don't care about the church, I'm going to participate in my sin, then you'd have to exercise the office of the keys there and simply tell them that they're out of heaven, you know. Even the individual Christian can exercise the office of the keys. Oh, well, that's a topic for another matter. We'll lock that up for right now.
Well, you know, the best part, Pastor Hawkinson, is that you leave them wanting more.
There you go.
That is the best way to do it. Pastor Mark Hawkinson, hear him daily at noon Central Time, Moments of Assurance, and then also on the weekends, Weekend Moments of Assurance. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. Enjoy your programs as well.
And Godspeed your travel this afternoon as you drive around. It may be kind of interesting out there.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Ask the Pastor is coming up next. Pastor Kevin Golden's supposed to be here. Stick around.
We thank you for listening to the Bible study on KFUO Radio, underwritten exclusively by Concordia Seminary St. Louis, now featuring online learning through iTunes U. Visit csl.edu for more information about Concordia Seminary. Stay tuned. Ask the Pastor, coming up next, Hour 2 of the Bible Study on KFUO Radio.